Welcome to the West Elk Word. I'm Tony Todd, and my guest today is Doug Hankins, longtime Gunnison local and recent college graduate. Doug has a kind of unusual story in relationship to his college graduation, and he's here today to share a little bit about that and how that went and how that came about. Doug, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Tony.
You're kind of a celebrity. You got to have your 15 minutes of fame with all this, didn't you?
Yeah, it was very surreal and very, I wasn't expecting it, but, you know, we'll take it as it comes.
Yeah, for sure.
But I've made it. I'm on the West Elk Word.
You did. You've hit the pinnacle.
Yes.
Of
I can
media
retire.
Coverage. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to Western and how you came to Gunnison as well.
Well, I grew up on the Front Range for a little bit, and then I moved to Montana. I lived in a very small town on the Blackfoot Indian Reservation, a little town called St. Ignatius, Montana. I would say it's about 45 minutes away from Missoula.
St. Ignatius?
St. Ignatius, okay. Yeah. It's a tiny little town.
Sounds like a church.
It literally, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Named after St. Ignatius, actually.
No doubt.
I lived there for a couple years, and then I moved back to Colorado, where I ended up finishing out my high school career. And I always tell people that I kind of Forrest Gumped my way into college because I never really had interest in going to college until my counselor came to me or asked to meet me in his office. So I went down to see him, and he said, you know, have you ever thought about going to college? And I said, no, not really. He said, I don't know if it's for me or not. He says, well, I'm looking at your transcripts and your grades, and, you know, I think that you would be good college material. I said, really? I said, okay, well, I guess I could look into it. And he says, well, good, because I've got three recruiters coming in to the high school here, and they all kind of want to meet you and kind of talk to you. And one of them was Western, and the other one was Fort Hays, Kansas. I think the other one was Mesa State. And so I went, I spoke to each of them, and then, you know, I decided, when we decided to go ahead and make the big decision on which college it was, the big decision was making sure that it was a college with in-state tuition. So that kind of threw out Fort Hays. And so it was between Western and Mesa. I said, well, let's go up to Gunnison and we'll see what it's like. And then, so I went up, we toured the campus, and then I said, okay, I guess I'm going there. So that's how I fell in, and I've never really left.
You started out as a regular student.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but then tell us the story of how mm-hmm. being a regular student kind of faded away, and then you just became a local working guy, and then you became a student again. And mm-hmm. what inspired you to take that first class after all of that happened?
I guess I'm not ashamed to say it because it's kind of, you know, it's part of that journey and that story. But, you know, when I first started, as sometimes a typical college student is, they're not very focused on that aspect of their education. I mean, some are, but I definitely was not one of those. I always joke that, you know, rather than majoring in communications, I was majoring in partying and minoring in chasing after girls. So it was kind of a situation where it got to the point where Western finally came up to me and says, you know, you probably do need to take a break from college. So I entered the workforce from there, and I did all sorts of different odd jobs, everything from, you know, working restaurants to I did grocery store work. I worked at a t-shirt factory doing printing. I worked in healthcare for a while, banking, just the whole gamut of everything that you could possibly ever do in Gunnison, retail, that kind of thing.
I think many people have done that.
Oh, yeah.
I've done that too.
It's just, if you live in Gunnison, I think that's kind of what you end up doing, in fact. So I think for me, the big push to go back to college was, you know, you reach that point in your life when you start to realize that there are more days behind you than that are going to be ahead of you. And, you know, what am I doing with my life? You know, what's the purpose of being here? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? I don't know if I, you know, when you hit that introspection, you start to really look at yourself and kind of evaluate who you are as a person. And for me, it was a situation where I wasn't happy with who I was. I felt like I was kind of in a rut. I wasn't doing what I felt like I was meant to be doing. And, you know, my mental health did take a little bit of a hit because of it. And, you know, a conversation with my parents, you know, at some point I mentioned to him, you know, I think, you know, just, you know, if I disappeared, you know, I don't feel like anyone would ever notice. I could just walk away from it all and just disappear. And my mom and dad, they told me, you know, I said, well, have you ever thought about going back to college? And I said, not really, because, you know, that wasn't really on my mind. And they said, you know, maybe what you need to do is go back to college and give that another try. And I, you know, I think that as you get older, you're able to look at things through a different prism. And that was kind of the way that I tried to approach going back to Western. Mainly, you know, what did I do wrong the first time I was there? And, well, that being not going to class, not engaging in the material. And so I made that decision that if I did this, I was going to try to go back and do it the right way. And, you know, it was a difficult road because I went back into Western with a really low GPA, 2.3 or 2.4 or something like that. And one of the goals that I had was I said, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I need to make sure that I am applying myself. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. How cool would it be to graduate with honors? So if I'm doing this, I'm going to do it right. And the very first class that I enrolled in was a class in the communications or the call department called media writing. And it was taught by a professor whose name was Professor Tony Todd.
Okay. Well, okay. Now it's time for full disclosure. Doug and I have been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
Yep. And I taught the first class he was in.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a refreshing experience for me, and a humbling experience too, because when you're an older student going into a classroom setting, sitting with a bunch of students that are, you know, 20 years younger than you. Well, I guess at that time, they weren't 20 years younger than me. They were probably maybe 10 or 15 at that time. But still, you know, that's a pretty big age gap. For me,
it's a huge age gap.
Yeah.
When you think about the difference between an 18-year-old and even a 30-year-old.
Yeah, 25 or 30-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. The amount of maturity and life experience you gain and that in your early adulthood is huge.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie. I do suffer from a little bit of arrested development. And, you know, you walk into that class, you know, it was easy for me to get into that mentality of, like, thinking, okay, well, I'm older than these people. I know a lot more than these people. But then realizing, you know, that there's that humility moment when you realize that these people that are, you know, 18 years old, they have as much to teach me about life and how to interact with people and be in the classroom than, you know, that I do as well. So looking at them as an equal, and I always felt like when I walked into class, the big thing that I wanted to do was at least bring something to the table that was interesting, that, you know, to engage in the discourse and hopefully propel that learning experience along.
I know that the younger students learned a lot from you just by virtue of how you present and held yourself in class, how you were prepared, but you also learned from them
yeah,
as well
yeah.
quite a bit. Tell us a little bit about that. I felt that as a teacher as well. You think that as the teacher, you're the one who knows everything and the students are there to just listen to you.
Right, right.
And that is not really true. I think the secret that most teachers will tell you is that they learn as much from their students as their students learn from them. And
yeah,
I think
it's just being open
to
just them as a person because, you know, and getting to know them as a person because, you know, I always tell people that, you know, you're probably going to forget, you know, I took algebra, a lot of algebra, because I am not a math person. So I had to take a lot of math. And I'm not going to, I don't remember any of this algebra other than the PEMDAS equation thing. But, you know, I think the things that you learn in college or in higher education, you learn some things, but you retain, and a lot of things that resonate with you are the things that you pick up from your fellow students and your professor, and there are little life lessons that you learn as you're traveling through life. You learn about that person and who they are as a person. You begin to respect them as individuals, and you learn, oh, that's a really cool thing that person does, or I didn't know that person had that kind of a hobby, or they did that kind of that's what they did in their outside time. You know, you just see that person in the classroom, and you get to know them as not just a fellow student in the learning environment, but as an individual.
Yeah, it's interesting in a college classroom that a student will often answer a question or make a comment far outside what anything you would ever expect someone to say.
Exactly.
A truly unique comment and a truly unique perspective. And if you're sitting in that classroom in any capacity, you hear it and go, whoa, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, definitely.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Offering that new perspective. Yeah. And I think that's what's cool about higher education is because it gives you that exposure. Because you learn a lot. I've learned a lot about who I am as a person and professionally and personally just by being in the classroom and being exposed to different ideas, different ways of thinking, of looking at life, and being exposed to different curriculums. You know, I would have never thought, I mean, there's been so many classes that I've taken throughout my career at Western, from, media classes to an outdoor recreation class that was stinted towards strategic planning, I guess is the right word.
In the recreation.
Yeah, in the recreation field.
Yeah.
And I'm not a rec person. I'm of the mind of, like, you see that mountain over there? Never climb it. I'm not an outdoorsy. I'm an indoor guy. I'm more happy playing video games and hanging out with friends, watching movies or reading a book or something like that. So that was kind of cool. You know, I never would have thought that I would be taking a course in hunting ghosts.
And no, that's right. You took Mark Todd's class.
I took Mark Todd's ghost hunting course, which was a cool course because you got to experience that aspect of ghost hunting, but it was framed through a critical thinking lens. And we would do ghost hunting or we'd do the investigations, but we always had our equipment with us. And, you know, one of the things that Mark taught us was, you know, if you experience something that you feel is paranormal, start going through the checklist. You know, let's look at it logically and use the critical thinking process of, okay, what is it? What could this possibly be? And then as you check down the list and you can't explain it at the end, it says, then it's possible that you might have something that would be considered paranormal.
That's an interesting class. What are some other classes that you've taken? Now, just to be clear, you essentially have done this one class at a time through most of this.
Yeah.
So it's taken you a while. So that's some serious perseverance. A lot of people have a hard time just getting through a 3 or 4 year stretch to get their degree, but you've stuck with this.
Yeah, I guess I'm fairly tenacious. It was literally just something to do on the side. I work for Western in their facilities department. And one of the cool things that Western offers its employees is a tuition reimbursement program where they will pay for your school, but they only pay for a certain amount of credit hours. I believe it's up to 6 credit hours. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much would kind of limelight going to school and then working my full-time job at the same time. So that finding that balance between the classroom and the school and my school job itself, that was a puzzle in itself to try to figure out. And, you know, there were some times when I was just like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? You know, should I be doing this? What are the benefits of going back to school? Because I've already employed by Western. I've got a really good career. But there was also that moment where I realized that in the position that I had or I'm in, there's a, you know, that glass ceiling that you are, that you're going to be bumping your head against. And the only way that if you really wanted to try something different or do something different in Western, you needed to have a degree. And a lot of people told me, it doesn't matter what degree you have, just as long as you have it.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand the reason why, because I'm always of the mind of, you know, you're a person, your value as an employee should be based off of, you know, who you are as a person, your experience, your life experience, that kind of thing. But then, you know, there's also that aspect when you know, we're circling back around to that higher education and what the experience that offers you. You know, it exposes you to different ways of thinking, different ideas. You know, it's a cornucopia of classes that I've taken, everything from theater and acting, trying my hand at becoming a thespian to communications courses where I did broadcasting classes. I've taken sociology courses. I took a course on serial killers and motivations. I guess a good example was I took a really cool course from Dr. Matthew Aronson. It was called Self and Society. And that taught me a lot about who we are as individuals and how society kind of dictates who we are as an individual and vice versa, which I thought was a really cool course because it really got me thinking about myself as an individual and who I am and what do I contribute to society and what does society contribute to who I am as a person.
If you are just joining us here today on the West Elk Word, I'm Tony Todd, and my guest is Doug Hankins, newly minted graduate from Western Colorado University, and he's here to tell us his story. So the idea of taking classes in college isn't just that at the end of it you qualify for a specific job. It's really about learning to learn and being open to new ideas and new ways of thinking of things that you can apply to your entire life, not just your work,
but
also to your work.
Yeah, and that's I've taken a lot of what I've learned in classes and incorporated that into my individual life, my personal life, as well as, you know, my professional life. I took a really cool course. It was emergency management. Prime example would be the wildfires here in Colorado. So they would create a base of operations, and there's a certain specific structure of how that wildfire is fought. You've got logistics. You've got a command base, and they're communicating, transportation, that kind of thing. How are you going to feed the firefighters? In one of those little modules that we did, it was all about management as a supervisor and being able to communicate and learn how to effectively lead. And so I was able to take that from my emergency management training course that I took. It was a 400-level sociology course, and I was able to apply that to my professional job at Western.
Because you do supervise people.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas or thoughts going forward with regard to what you might do with your degree? Does it open up some doors for you, do you think?
Well, I think having that degree definitely opens up the possibility of a chance for transitioning into a different role at the university. But I'm also happy where I am. You know, if I see a job that looks interesting to me, I would possibly look at, you know, do I feel like I have the credentials to do something like that?
Well, that's kind of happened in a way. You have taken on a small role, additional role to what you do.
Yeah, yep.
You're now the faculty advisor.
Yeah, the faculty staff advisor for the student-run radio station over at Western.
Very good.
And that was kind of, again, that's another situation where I felt like I Forrest-Gumped my way into it.
Yeah.
Because, again, that was a situation where we did an independent study building off of the strategic action plans that I had developed in previous courses and independent projects. I attempted to see if we could incorporate that into the operations of the student-run radio station. It's been kind of fun to try to solve that puzzle. The administration has asked us to move away from the RF signal, so now we are a completely streaming station. And that comes with a lot of moving pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we're there completely yet, but you know, we are definitely putting those pieces in place where we can become a full streaming station. In my role as the faculty staff advisor, I wanted to make sure that I looked at that station as a service to the Western community. So, yeah, radio's changed. And of course, you have the shift in technology where,
sure,
you know, a lot of listeners will opt to go to a streaming service like Spotify or Apple Music. How do you remain relevant as a broadcaster? For me, I feel like that solution was to really find that niche, service the community. And for us, mm-hmm, with the college radio station, which is KWSB, I feel that for us to reach that community, we need to really ingrain ourselves in the campus community and campus life. So that's kind of one of the things that I'm trying to push our student staff is to really get involved and promote other clubs and organizations on campus and try to ingrain themselves and get them in so that we can promote their events,
yeah,
so that we remain relevant as we transition into this streaming-only service.
It sounds like it's going to be an interesting journey for you.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I mean, we've updated our streaming platform. I upgraded the automation system and the scheduling program. There's a lot of technical jargon that goes along with it.
That's great, though, and that's a great experience, too.
Yeah. Well, and that was the big thing, too, because when I did radio a long, long time ago, you know, I was cutting stuff on a reel-to-reel with a grease pencil.
Me too.
So and then, you know, we had the carts, which those of you who don't know what that is, our PSAs or commercials would be recorded and it was a one take. And if you messed up, you had to start all over again. And we recorded them on these carts, which looked like giant 8-tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing was you record them on the cart and you could put maybe like 3 or 4 30-second spots on a cart. Or mm-hmm, a 30-second spot is like a 30-second commercial.
Yeah, they were weird. They looked like giant 8-tracks, but they didn't hold very much.
No, they did not. And then when you played it, there's typically 4 or 5 of these 30-second spots on there. And they're separated by what they call a stop tone. And that's a little embedded tone that's inaudible to the broadcast, tells the cart to stop. And then when you push the start button again, it'll fire up the next 30-second commercial.
Yeah.
But then sometimes the DJ would hit the stop tone and create a new tone and completely mess it up. That was radio way back in the day.
Back in the day. Back in the day when it was all human beings.
Exactly.
Which made it charming, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's why when you had the personality. And yeah, that's what I fell in love with on the radio was, you know, hearing those personalities on the radio and saying, mm-hmm, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. So now you do get to do that. What about classes? Do you intend to keep taking classes since you still can?
Well, I still can, but I think I'm happy with
taking
where I
break?
Am in life. Yeah,
yeah.
If something weird like ukulele or something like that shows up, maybe I might be curious.
Okay. What would you say to someone out there, Doug, who is like you? Maybe they started college and then they washed out for whatever reason. It might be because they just weren't mature enough and they partied too much.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's because life happened and they couldn't stay. It was too expensive or too much time or whatever the reason. And they would love to go back to college, but they are hesitant because they feel like they're too old or they feel like, well, I wasn't successful the first time. What makes me think I will the next time? That kind of thing. What would you say to bolster their confidence and encourage them to go?
I think we as people spend a lot of time concentrating on the whys of a situation. Like, why should I do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would I want to go back to school? Why would I want to go do that? Everything from that to, you know, even like personal things like, why would I want to go ask that girl out? Or, you know, and we spend too much time concentrating on the whys. And I feel like if we started looking at it from a different perspective of a why not, then we have a way to look at life a little differently and that decision-making process a little differently. Why not go to college or go back to school? Or why not do this? Mm-hmm. Why not climb a mountain, even though I'm never, ever going to climb that mountain?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite quotes is, I'm not a smart man, but I've been known to be wise. And the only thing that I've lost from not trying is inexperience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that holds true. Like, because literally, if I had never, ever tried to go back to college, I would probably be in that same rut. I would be stuck in that same moment in my life where I would be questioning who I am.
And you did graduate with honors, right?
I did, which was crazy.
You were able to not only overcome your, I guess, fear of failure,
yeah,
but to do that with aplomb. You actually really went over the
top. Yeah, that
was
a surprise. Yeah. Well, I kind of knew.
Even with those algebra classes.
Yes. Which I, you know, math not being my strong point, I passed every single one of them.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. I became one of those obsessive students where if I got a B, I was really, really concerned. It's like, what is going on here? It was that mentality of going to class. My professor prepared the material for us to try to teach something to us that they felt was important. You know, what can I do as a student to engage in that subject matter to make their job easier at the same time, but also, you know, engage the others around me? Because that's what college is, I feel. You know, it's a discourse.
I love that because I think so many students feel that college is going into a room, sitting there, taking some notes, and leaving. And that's maybe one small aspect of it.
Yeah.
But it's really about engaging.
And you may not have the right answer.
That's right.
But the fact that you put that out there and you created a conversation around that topic.
Well, Doug Hankins, we could probably chat.
Oh, I could totally chat. You're here all
day. But thank you so much for joining me today on the West Elk Word and sharing your story. And
yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was very fun.
And it's a BA. You have a
Bachelor of Arts in Communications with a sociology minor, which is kind of cool.
That is very cool. That's it for this edition of the West Elk Word. You can listen to this or any edition of the program anytime. Go to kbut.org, click Programs, then West Elk Word. Thanks for listening. See you next time.